All right, so today on Life Unscripted, I have the lead singer of the band, The Brevet, Eric. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for coming on. So here on the show, it's really just about unscripted conversations. And yeah. I actually like to jump in and get to know about you and really kind of like, when did your musical influence start to peak for you? When did you have that?
You know, mine's kind of interesting. It was, so like we just talked about before we started recording, I went to school in Irvine. I still live in Irvine now. And when I was in school, when I was in high school, I played a lot of sports. You know, I was in football and baseball, and I tore actually my hip labrum in football my senior year. So I had to take an elective. And I kind of had always been dabbling from that point on, like in guitar and playing with friends and whatnot, but never took it serious. Never was singing by any means. So I took an elective and I took theater because it was an easy A at the time. So from there, I just thought I was going to kind of cruise through this class. And then the teacher took a liking to me and forced me to audition for these plays. And he was like, you know, it would be like, I'm going to flunk you if you don't audition. So I'd have to audition for these plays. And then he started giving me like the lead roles of these musicals. We did like Miss Saigon, was one of the plays we did. And I had no idea how to sing. So from that point, I got a vocal coach. And I guess my competitive edge, he started entering me in all these like acting competitions and whatnot. And it was fun, obviously, from coming from the sport world. I was like, this is great. I love winning. Yeah. So it just from there, I really, really enjoyed it. Didn't know what I wanted to do in college. Ended up doing acting in college. I went actually to school in Nebraska. And I don't know, man, from there, like I was doing a lot of student films and kind of calling on connections from my friends that are from Orange County. Orange County is a super affluent area and a lot of great bands have come out of here. So I'd be calling friends' bands to like license their music in the student films that we were doing in college. And I just kind of got sick of doing the paperwork. So I was like, I'll just write them. So I started writing for all these student films, like the background music.
Okay.
And that kind of just sparked, for me at least, it just sparked diving into that a little bit more. And as I got out of college, my good friend and I met back up and we started writing like two or three songs. And from there, never taking it serious, I still was going to do the acting whole thing. And and we signed with a licensing company and just started getting television placements from those three songs. It kind of was like a perfect storm, but at the time, you know, licensing was, this, you know, it still is a huge thing, but it's just very oversaturated right now. And at the time, we just happened to enter at the perfect time. Couldn't have planned it, but started getting all these placements. So I was like, all right, I need to take this a little serious. And then fast forward 4 or 5 years later, and here we are now as The Brevet.
So were you writing before that? Did you have like history of like sitting down, maybe writing poetry? Like
I would kind of like mess around on guitar and write a bit like in high school, you know, with your friends, like making bands with your best buddies.
Yeah.
You know? But nothing like to the extent of like taking it serious at all. It was just fun, passing time. Like my friend was learning how to play drums and I was like, oh, cool. Well, I know how to play guitar and
yeah.
Let's write. So I don't want to play covers, so let's write some music.
You have a pretty distinct sound within your voice.
Oh, thank you.
Who are some of the influences who made an impact on you?
There's been a ton of bands that have made an impact on me. Like, I grew up in Orange County. I know you said you had some brothers here, but in Orange County, at the time, 2007-ish, you know, when I was graduating high school, at the time, there was a ton of hardcore emo bands coming out of Orange County. A lot of great bands, Thrice, Atreyu, and all these huge bands now. So I wanted to sing like that, and it was very high for me, and I couldn't do that.
Let's just say your voice sounds nothing like
not at
I've
all.
I've heard both of those bands, and it's nothing like that.
No, not at all, and they're incredible bands. But and you know, a lot of these emo bands, if you will, that came out of that scene just are super tenor singers, and that wasn't me. So I was never fitting into that. And then while I was in college, a buddy of mine showed me a band called Kings of Leon, which I'd never heard of. And I heard his voice. I was like, oh. And I actually, at the time, it was funny. I actually didn't like his voice. I was like, ah, oh, you know, it's not really what I'm into. And then I realized like that's where my voice kind of fits in like that range. And then another band called Need to Breathe came out, and I was like, oh my God, there's another example of like where my voice fits. It's where my, you know, even when I'm, the music I'm writing on a guitar is like, it lends itself to that style of vocals. And it was just kind of a funny thing. At first I was very not into leaning into finding my own voice. And then, through those certain bands, like it really helped me figure out where my voice settled in.
Nice. How did you start to piece the band together? Like, were you the initiator of like, all right, I want to put a band together, or were you approached?
No, yeah, I definitely was the initiator. I mean, it was again through the writing. My friend who was our old keyboard player. He was great at like producing and the recording aspect of it. And at the time when we were just, you know, writing for these student films, I would call him up and I'd be like, hey, I need your help with X, Y, and Z. So that kind of how it initially started. And then we just started working more and more on different songs and ideas that I was bringing in. And from there, then the brevet sparked. We need a drummer. We found David as our drummer. And then David was like, we need a guitarist. We found John. And it kind of just kind of unraveled from there.
How did you guys come together and really, because I mean, you guys kind of have like this rock folk sound.
Yeah.
How did you guys come together and like, all right, this is going to be our sound and bring that into play?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think it kind of came out naturally. We weren't trying to be any other band or, you know, each member honestly comes from totally different musical backgrounds. Like David's a jazz drummer originally, you know, and went to school for that, and is into soul and all these other type of, you know, and I think it kind of lends itself to all these different aspects of what we're doing. I don't know. It depends. For me, it's an interesting thing. Like, it depends what instrument I'm writing on. And at the beginning, the earlier stages of the brevet, I was writing a lot on acoustic guitar. And kind of now where we are now, it's much more electric and exploring that space and whatnot. So it changes how I structure a song quite a bit.
Got it. And are you the one who's basically the main writer behind all the songs?
Yeah, I am. There's a times though when all the members, especially with the last album called Legs, you know, we would write it in a different setting. It was more for live purposes, you know, and so we would write it in the studio together and whatnot. But most of the time, yeah, it's me bringing some skeletons to the table, and then the guys helping me put the meats and bones on it, you know?
Yeah. You guys came out with your first album in 2014, correct?
I believe so. Yeah. I can't believe that's long. Yeah. Yeah.
Where did, you know, one of actually the songs that like I first heard, and I heard it on some Spotify station. Someone that like Spotify had created.
Yeah.
But it was Rocks Beneath the Water.
Oh, no way. That was funny enough. That was the first song I ever wrote for the brevet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that song, I heard that and I was like, oh shit. I was like, this is like, that song spoke to me a lot.
That was one of the three licensing songs. I guess that like the three songs we first wrote. I don't even remember the other one. It was maybe a song called Giants and something else. But at the time, we had Rocks Beneath the Water, and then that got a huge placement in a Ron Howard movie. And from there, then that was like that moment where I was like, maybe I should take it a little more serious.
Continue on with it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely like at the time, it was kind of a hobby, a fun thing that I loved doing. And it was just fun. I was young and just got out of college and wasn't thinking about it.
Right.
As a career.
Where did that song stem from?
Kind of coming back from college and figuring out what I wanted to do, kind of, you know, it's kind of feeling on the outside inside of my town. Just everyone, right when you get out of college, especially in a city like Orange County, is like set in their career. Like, I'm gonna be a real estate agent. I'm gonna be X, Y, and Z.
Oh yeah, super.
I don't really. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's, I mean, it's a very. Orange County is a great place to live. I love Orange County, but that's kind of how I was feeling when I came back initially, was maybe a little lost, maybe a little uncomfortable with the direction that I thought I was potentially going in. I didn't know. you know?
Yeah. Are you like, I'm always intrigued by the creative process individuals go through. Some people don't like to write about their own personal stuff and they're more taking a story, like a theme of what they see on in the culture and they're writing about it. What's yeah. like your style of just releasing creativity and, you know, expressing it in the form of your lyrics? What's been your way of kind of doing that?
I think my natural default is definitely what's going on with me.
Yeah.
I think that's my default. And I enjoy that because a lot of the times I'll actually write the like guitar melody first and just kind of mumble things and it'll come out subconsciously a lot of the times in mm-hmm. an interesting way. And I'll be, oh, that's interesting. And then I'll let it sit for a while. And then I'll go like, why am I trying to say that, you know, and then let it kind of stem from there. There's been times when I do want to take that one approach that you're talking about, which is writing from a story or just kind of a made up grand thing that you can inspire someone by or a bigger theme.
Right.
You know? Definitely our earlier Brevet stuff was a lot of themes. There was a lot of themes of like perseverance and overcoming challenges and whatnot. And there always is still a through line of that within our music. But I think, definitely stems from like a personal space first and then makes his way out of there. And it's always fun for me to kind of, you know, some artists like to make it very, very personal. And it's fun for me to kind of try to take the challenge of putting it into words that someone could interpret in their own way
mm-hmm.
and make it personal to them as opposed to like, this is Eric writing about whatever Eric wants to write about.
Right.
You know, so it's always a good challenge. It's sometimes frustrating, but it comes out how it comes out sometimes.
Where are you guys like, so 2014, you guys come out with your first stuff. And then I know there was some like singles kind of released mm-hmm. After that. And you guys said like, I think when I was looking, it was like quite a gap of like 4 years or something of your next album of when Legs came out.
Yeah, there was like a good 2 or 3. So yeah, I mean, when we first initially released that record you're talking about, we weren't even touring at the time. We were just seeing how it went, like just kind of taking it as it goes. Definitely our bread and butter was licensing.
Yeah.
You know? And from there, you know, we had a lot of great success in that and super, super grateful for all the licensing. I love licensing. I love it. It's from my background of like the acting world, it's really cool to see your music complementing a scene, either in a movie or someone, some music supervisor interpreting your song in a way that helps amplify a movie scene or a trailer or a sports game or anything, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's really a cool thing that I never want to lose sight of. But as we were writing the next record Legs, it was like, what do we want to do? And that was what that kind of turning point. And it happened naturally, but it was the turning point of like, we need to be a live band. We need to be playing live. We need to be focusing on this and really, really hitting the ground running. We with American Novel and those songs, you know, we got opportunities to play live. We were playing live, but it was just very sparse. And we kept getting pushed into these opportunities. Like we won a sound check competition to play on this this festival called the Rock Boat, and it was with Need to Breathe and a bunch of other. It was like a 5-day Coachella type cruise that goes mm-hmm. to the Grand Cayman Islands. Funny enough, we're actually doing it now for the second time. We're doing it this year. And it goes to Belize in January.
Oh, nice.
So we're doing that with like Switchfoot and Need to Breathe. And there's a ton of great bands on there. But there was a huge gap in the meantime because we were focusing on trying to transition to this kind of live endeavor that we wanted to do and be, you know, not be just a licensing band. And I think it's difficult for a lot of bands. I think a lot of bands can, you can be just fine being a band that writes for television and film, but you'll find yourself being a writer for television and film. Like
right.
you'll be writing maybe for like, this is the best day ever. And then eventually like, I don't want to do that. You know, I want to write how we initially wrote music and created.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly. I love that. What were some of the challenges going through that, like, okay, we're just put an album out for the first time, and then to the next 4 years, what are some of the challenges and hurdles that you guys actually went through in that process?
And from putting the record out to putting the next one out?
Yeah. Like that, in those 4 years, what are some big things you faced along the way?
I think just growing and developing and figuring out what we wanted as a band, as opposed to like what we were supposed to do, you know, which we had, you know, we have great success in the licensing world, but that's one spoke of the wheel, you know, like we need, you know, every band needs to be, that should be an aspect. Touring should be an aspect. Social media should be an aspect, all these other things. So I think it was just catching up to all of that. It was just figuring out where we wanted to settle in and where we wanted to find our strengths and our stride and lean into it.
How, I know just from my own personal experience with researching the music industry and connecting with other artists, I know it's super challenging to like stay true to your own like legs and your own like tone of like what it is there you feel called to do. Like, I'd love to hear from you of like what you were just saying earlier of like really sticking true to you of like what are some of the things that like have people tried to change the sound, change the style up? Like, what are some of those things you've ran into within the music industry?
Yeah, I can definitely elaborate on that. I mean, I think, so like we talked about initially, where we started was that licensing world, and it wasn't intended to be. I mean, like we like kind of like you were talking about our sound, that just came out naturally. Like it wasn't trying to be like someone else. But at the time, right when we released it, there was a band that was blowing up called Mumford and Sons, and I think you've probably heard of them.
I just heard them down the street from. They were at ACL this weekend, so.
And they're incredible. I love Mumford and Sons. And I love their new music even more than I love their older stuff, you know. But at the time, like, they were really, really paving the way for that style, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything fell under that blanket immediately of, like, oh, you're folk. You're like, well, not really. Like, I'm not a folk band. You know, we don't have any banjo. And it's like,
yeah.
Well, you're a folk band. You're bluegrass. You're like, you hear all these different things of what you are and right. What you're supposed to. And then in the licensing world, since that's big at the moment, because Mumford wasn't licensing any of their songs. So everyone wants that sound, right? You need to be this. And it's like there was a struggle for us to decide, well, we don't want to be that. Like, that's Mumford's thing. Like, they're great at that. And they paved the way for that sound. But that's not the Revit, you know, that's not what we are. We're Southern California guys, you know. So that was a challenge for sure for us. And it was kind of figuring out if we wanted to lose on licensing deals, you know, wanted to lose on that aspect of a business or wanted to evolve and grow and take a risk. And at the time too, like, you know, Spotify, like just like we were talking about, you heard us on Spotify, they were putting us on they still do put us on a bunch of playlists, which we're super, super thankful for. It gets so much exposure and so many fans find us that way. But people hear one sound, they're like, that's the band. This is what they are.
Right. You know,
they're folk. And then it's been a challenge kind of transitioning because we're not necessarily a folk band. We're much more a rock band or alternative rock band than anything. And definitely elements of folk, definitely elements of blues, definitely elements of all those aspects. But it's kind of a melting pot of all the things I was inspired by, you know, as a kid even. So there's a huge challenge to that, to try to like grow from that and write just in your way and not be influenced by like who is the king at that moment. Because by the time you write that, you know, there's all these bands always chasing like that
what's
sound.
Hot?
Yeah. And by the time they release an album or a song of what's hot, it's not hot anymore.
Right.
So, you know, it's the music industry is interesting. It's a game of luck. It's a game of like, you got to go from the heart and you got to write how you want to write. And hopefully people enjoy it and are inspired by it, or at least have some, you can be grateful for the music that you created and appreciate it, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, I was, you know, one of my favorite bands was Third Eye Blind, still is. And I remember just reading about Stephen Jenkins, and he's like, piling through attorneys saying, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. Like, right. I want the licensing and I want the publishing.
Right.
Like, he wanted full rights to his music. He didn't want to give it up. And I mean, I just like read through the stories of what he went through. But here they are 23 years later. And they're still, you know, this came out the news, they're still going strong. So just interesting to hear with you being connected to
right
your music, right? And just seeing someone who was connected with his music and the vision and making a massive career out of it.
Yeah. It's definitely, I mean, it's a challenge. I mean, it's a risk. Don't get me wrong, because I mean, like the Brevet, we're unsigned. We've chosen for a long time to try to be as independent as possible. I think that definitely influences how we write our music, I think, and why we can do the things that we're doing, whether it's good or it's crap, I don't know. You know, but I think it's all subjective, you know, to who enjoy. As long as we're enjoying it, man, it's right. Like, as long as we can find some joy out of it and can hopefully keep growing it to support our families and do those type of things on music alone, that's incredible, you know. So I don't know. I don't think it's like any career, you know. You just can't
give up on it.
Yeah, you can't give up on it. And you can't chase something that someone else is already doing.
Right. I saw you guys just came out with a new cover. You guys did Hound Dog, right?
Yeah, we did. We did do Hound Dog. Yeah, a little twisted cover is what they're called.
Yeah, I just saw that did come out.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We had.
Was that one of your influences, Elvis?
Definitely, I love Elvis. I that picture on the front is me and my older brother, and me dressed up like Elvis. So yeah, nice. I mean, I love Elvis Presley. It's, even as a little kid, super, super inspired. We actually have another cover we did of Elvis as well, "Devil in Disguise." That's somewhere on Spotify.
We'll have to find it on there.
Yeah, so that's a cool one too. I think those are the only two covers we released of an Elvis covers. Just interesting. I don't know. Just was fun.
Yeah, I mean, Elvis is great.
Yeah, man.
You can hear a little bit of the rock in that, of what you guys do, just a little bit of it.
Yeah, I mean, definitely inspired by him in one way or another, for sure. And his guitarist and everything about it.
Where do you see your band? Where do you see you guys going?
It's a good question. I mean, I want to keep growing. I want to keep touring more and growing our fan bases in different markets like Austin, Texas. Mm-hmm. And keep writing music that's, again, true to us, and see where it goes. You know, like we're in the process of recording a bunch of new music that we'll be releasing in 2020, and really, really excited about it all. It's a constant evolution and maturity to what we're doing, and constantly trying to write from the heart.
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing a new sound emerge as you transition and have changes within yourself?
Definitely. Definitely seeing that. Like we got back from, you know, we basically been touring for the last year and a half straight. And I got back home and just went into kind of my cave and was writing just a bunch of songs. And there kind of was a theme throughout all of them and an interesting tone that I hadn't heard before in a lot of our music.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see how it plays out when we release it. It should be really, really fun. I'm super excited about it.
When are you looking to have some new music out there?
We're looking for March of 2020.
Nice. Yeah. Are you guys gonna do an album, or are you guys going down the
not too far away?
More of the singles route.
They'll most likely be singles. Yeah, they'll most likely be singles. We've recorded but when all is said and done, it'll be about 20 songs that we're ready to go. So we'll select the best ones and decide if we want to put them out in singles or whatnot, and figure out how we want to kind of package that. But definitely the singles game, unfortunately or fortunately, is the way to go now. It's kind of a cool. I look at it like an opportunity. I love albums. I love how albums are, but I look at it like an opportunity of a new way to kind of put out our music,
right?
You know, and let people listen to each song. I think it's kind of a great way to also have someone explore your journey with you, and and hear the evolution of your music in single form. You know, people go, here's an album. Here's an album. They're like, what happened? You know, or something like that.
Right.
You know, like, if you do the songs, they can kind of see where your mind's going at the time.
Totally.
I think it's kind of a cool creative way to do it.
Yeah, no, I enjoy that too, of just hearing an artist, okay, you drop one and then a few months later, then you get another one from them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and we're constantly recording, so we're not going to have like 20 songs ready to go. It's going to be more of like a, all right, here's the first ones we're most excited about right now. Let's go back in the studio. Here's the next ones. You know, so it's going to be all year long. We're just going to be releasing as much as we can and continually, you know, playing out shows.
So I know you said you're going to doing a cruise to Belize starting in January. Is there a tour in the works for 2020?
Definitely. We'll definitely be touring in 2020. Not positive yet where, but we will definitely be touring in 2020. I think we just booked our hometown show here for April. So we'll be doing that.
Nice. What venue?
A House of Blues.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So we'll be playing here. But besides that, we will be touring nationally quite a bit.
Awesome. So life on the road must get pretty interesting. So I'm intrigued to know like some behind the scenes, like stuff that like fans wouldn't normally get a like taste of. Like, you know, they might think all this glitz, glamour, like what are some behind the scenes things that the average person just has no idea about?
That you don't spend a lot of time in each city. You really like, I mean, the way we're touring, you know, which is like a 15 passenger van and trailer, you're from city to city very quickly. So you come in for a sound check. You know, people always, at least people back home, it's funny, they assume that you're like, oh man, you're getting to go like all over the place. Like you're in New York, you're in Boston, you're both. But I mean, I see a green room and then a stage. And that, you know, very, very, we rarely see, like, we get to spend time in a city. If we have a day off, maybe, you know, but a lot of times it's like go, 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 and a day off is a drive day. It's somewhere else. It's a little further to get to, you know?
Yeah. So are you guys, like, sleeping in the van at the same time as well then, too?
No. I mean, there'll be guys taking shifts, you know, driving, but, and someone will sleep, but we won't be sleeping in the van. Don't be roughing it that bad.
Yeah, not right. What's one of the more wild experiences, if you're okay to share, of your tour experience so far?
We haven't had too many like super crazy life-threatening experiences or anything like that. I mean, I would say we went on this 1 5-week long tour and we rented the van the first time because we didn't have our own. This was like, we went last year with a band called Magic Giant out on a 5-week tour in the winter. And we decided last minute to leave from like, I don't know where we were. We were driving to Wisconsin, that's all I know, at like 2 a.m, which wasn't smart. And it was snowing out and all those things. And I was driving and all the guys are asleep. It's 2-lane highway. There's like a semi right next to me. And this owl just flies right, a huge owl flies right in front of our car. And I like couldn't swerve. So I just went right through it. And it destroyed our grill.
Oh, and
at the time, I was so tired. I was like, guys, I think I just hit a bird, an owl. And everyone's like, okay. And we pull off to the gas station like 2 hours later. I totally forgot about it. And we look in the grill, and the grill's gone. And an owl, just fully intact, frozen, is just in the middle of our grill. So needless to say, there was a lot of insurance and rental companies weren't pumped about that. But yeah, that, I mean, nothing too crazy. We do have, funny enough, because of that exact, like you're talking about, a lot of people don't know the insights of the band. I started creating this tour diaries, is what we call them. It's on our Instagram and our YouTube. But they're like short segments of kind of like office setting, self-deprecating little videos, a little insight to like what we do and what how our tour life goes with the band when you're on the road with someone for 5 weeks.
Yeah,
you know, y'all develop and y'all know each other pretty well at that point.
That's cool. That's got to be cool for fans to be able to watch and see, you know, the behind, because the music industry in general is kind of so to the fans. It's there's like a big wall.
There is. Yeah. I think nowadays that's shifting quite a bit. And because of Instagram, because of social media is a lot more accessible. I think that's something we actually need to be better at is doing that. So there's going to be a lot more tour diaries. There's going to be some other something diaries going on soon. There's gonna be a lot of different diaries happening in the brevet. So yeah, a lot of big video segments coming up in 2020 for sure. That they'll be exciting. Another way to kind of show our fans just who we are and not take it so serious. And
right,
the goofy side of the brevet.
What's life like for you when you're not on the road?
Well, I got married almost 2 years ago. So I got married in January of 2018 and left a week after that for about 11 weeks touring.
Did you bring the wife with you?
No, we were going so much she couldn't. She had to work here in Orange County, and that was rough. That was hard for sure.
I bet.
I'm like, hey, we're married. All right, bye. You know, one of those things. So it's been really, really nice being home. So when I am home, I am with my wife. I'm home riding. And I also used to be a personal trainer, so I do go to the gym a lot. I work out, and I help a gym called F45, which is the one I used to personal train at, and it's a great gym. So it's down in Orange County, and I still go in there every now and then and do cool things with them.
Nice,
yeah. So fitness is definitely a thing that I'm still very involved with when I'm home.
Nice, one of those things that keeps you centered.
Yeah, definitely. Even on the road, like I have to find a gym somewhere.
Yeah, I feel you.
Just get a run in or something, you know, get the blood pumping, especially like when you've been sitting in a car for hours at a time.
Totally. Are you the type of, you know, musician? Are you like wake up in the morning? Are you playing every day just on the instrument, writing? Like what are some of your habits and rituals around that?
I got through ebbs and flows, man. Like if I don't know, there's certain times when I'm just super in it and every day writing, recording, producing like a song. And then at other times I can go a couple weeks with not even picking up the instrument. Sometimes I need a little break from it, a little distance because we've been touring so much. So I need a little time and I have a little clarity to then get back to those songs I was working on, and I can see them in a different light. And I love that aspect. Like when we're home, that's how we originally were recorded with the brevet a long time ago. It was like recording as we wrote in a weird way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we'd write, you know, like a verse in a chorus maybe, or a verse in a chorus idea. And then we'd put it, like, I'll send it to each other and I just listen to it in my car as I'm driving. I'm like, no, we need to change X, Y, and Z. So go back in, change it, and then keep writing from there. So a lot of these songs would stem from like piecemealing it together over time and letting it evolve with us and mature. So being home now, it's like, it's nice kind of, you know, there was a period right when I got home where I just knocked out a ton of songs and I was super, super inspired. And then I was like, all right, I need to put this down for a second, step away for a little bit. So it comes in ebbs and flows. It's interesting for me. Sometimes I'll be super in it. And then other times I need a little distance.
Yeah. Are you producing the music as well?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. So you got your hands all over it.
Yeah. I definitely, the guys can attest for that. I definitely like to be hands-on, to put it mildly.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
You're not bringing in other professionals to engineer and...
We definitely have a team. Like we have a great, great guy engineering and mixing our stuff for us. And and we have someone mastering our record as well. But a lot of the times it'll be the guys and myself producing it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of rare these days when you see actually like singer-songwriters. That also are actually have their hands in the producing and not bringing on a producer who's, you know, maybe produced all these other albums and bringing in like that influence of his mind into your work.
Right. And I always want to do that though still. That's something I want to do is have someone. It's like a fifth member of the band, you know. It's like if you find a really great producer to do that, we just need to find the right one that fits with what we want, you know, and how we see the progression of the band. And so that's kind of an exciting potential for our future as well. But I do love, that's one of my favorite things. I do love the production side of the piecing it together and the figuring out where everything fits and where, how the sound's going to feel and all that. That's probably my favorite thing about music.
Nice. Yeah. So I'd imagine as you guys get bigger and you're playing with what you're sharing here is to go on tour, that would lead to probably going on tour with certain bands.
Definitely.
What would be a band or bands that you would love to be able to open up from as you guys are, you know, becoming the headliners?
Oh man, I'm obsessed with this band right now. They're called Fowls from the UK.
Okay.
And I would love to open up for those guys. Those guys crush. Those guys are awesome. I've been really heavily influenced by Arctic Monkeys recently.
Yes.
So love everything Alex Turner does. That guy, I mean, even his side project is incredible too. I don't know if you've heard it, but it's awesome, man.
I saw them last year at ACL. He put on a great show. Yeah.
Yeah, I still haven't seen them live, but I just love their music, and they're one of those bands I'd love to open for. And it's funny, the music that we're writing right now is definitely taking a shift in similar directions to that type of music, you know. So just keep constantly evolving. And a dream would obviously be like a band like Kings of Leon. That'd be a dream, but they're humongous. Nice. And probably, I don't know how much longer. Who knows how long it'll be around for, but.
Depends on if you keep his head on straight.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. But I mean, those type of bands we would be in heaven touring with.
Yeah, when I think of your song like Rocks Beneath the Water and So Long,
mm-hmm.
To me, those, like when I hear those, because those are the two of the songs probably that I've connected with the most of like your music.
It's awesome.
I could see those songs being a nice mesh for the bands you're sharing right now. Like that style of music that I hear from you.
Definitely. I mean, we're all inspired by those type of bands right now. And there's a lot of great music out there. You guys got to find it. And I think those bands would be like just unreal to tour with.
I have a question about that. Actually, the song So Long, if you are open to answering it.
Sure.
Was that about you or someone else?
It was actually about purpose. I've been searching for you for so long, like purpose in life.
Yeah.
So it's not really about anyone person wise. So, I mean, it's me talking, but the song is about, I think there's a lot of people right now that are just kind of directionless and whatnot, and it's about finding like what your purpose is in life.
I love it.
Yeah, that's
probably why I connected with it so well, is because I feel I share a inspiration to assist people with really discovering what is that thing that wants to come out of you that is your purpose.
And Rocks is a similar kind of theme to that in aspects of it, but So Long is a little bit more on the nose of like what you're searching in or what your ambitions are, like growing up as a kid and kind of figuring out your strengths and your weaknesses and all that song and dance.
I love it. I love it, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, dude, I really appreciate your time today, Eric, coming on the show.
Dude, and, you know, thank you, man.
Hearing the story. And, you know, I wish nothing but the best for you guys and hope you guys continue to carry on with your calling and the music you make. And I look forward to hearing what comes out of you guys.
And we will be in Austin soon. So we'll have to link up when we're there.
Yeah. And please let me know when you're here.
I will.
So for the audience, like where, let's throw out the stuff where they can follow you. Where's like the best space that you guys are on the most? Like,
definitely Instagram. We're on Instagram the most. So it's at the Brevet, BREVET. And then, you know, we're on all the usual suspects, Facebook, Twitter. We're pretty weak on, I'll be on. I'll be on. We're pretty fucking awful on Twitter, but, Everything else we're on. Spotify is a great way to find us and a great way to kind of learn about what we are. Our YouTube page too has some music videos and whatnot. But Instagram is our definitely our most active. We respond a bunch on Instagram. So that's
awesome. So follow them on Instagram. Definitely follow them on Spotify. Give them a like on there too. Yeah, any last words? Any last things you'd love to share?
I just hope everyone's excited for the new music and continue to follow us until at least March, and then you can tell us to fuck off if you hate the music. But until then, like, keep following us, and we'll see you guys soon.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you coming on our show today.
Thanks so much, man. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Great talking with you.
You too.